Very good evening to you, and welcome to Manx Radio AM 1368 with Saturday Sport Classified. I'm Rob Pritchard, taking a look through the latest results across Manx hockey, Manx football, FC Isle of Man, in fact, as well as Manx rugby. And we'll start things off as swiftly as I possibly can, joined here to take a look at the Manx football today alongside Tony Meppham. Tony, once again, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Rob.
Okay, let's take a look to start with. The ECAP FA Cup preliminary round took spotlight again this week. The rescheduled fixtures, of course, from a few weeks back when the Manx weather really took its toll on the fixtures. And I think it's fair to say the Manx weather has reared its ugly head again today and has caused a couple of casualties. Let's just have a quick look through the results so far from the ECAP FA Cup preliminary round. First off, to mention two games that were postponed going into this weekend, and they were Uncan versus Malou and Douglas Athletic versus Douglas Royal. Those were postponed due to player availability, with the Isle of Man under-18s actually heading off island, so a number of players joining them, meaning that all of those four sides unable to quite get those fixtures ahead. They'll be rescheduled for another time. But let's have a quick roundup of the ECAP FA Cup preliminary round results. We have Foxdale 5, Braddon 0, St John's 1, Corinthians 4, 7, Pulrose 2. And let's just take a quick look at those before we go to the league fixtures. Tony, so an interesting day. Managed to get a few games ahead at least, but taking a look here, Foxdale 5-0 against Braddon, and that's quite a comfortable result, isn't it?
Well, it was, and last week I think it was 5-1 to Foxdale again in the league. So in the cup, expected to be about the same, and usual sort of goal scorers kicking around as well. Jay Chatwood, he got 2 goals, Jack Smith with 1, Ricky Newsham and Barton Bowman. Now, I mentioned to you before, Barton Bowman's a goalkeeper, so whether Barton played in goal today, I'm not 100% sure, because it was quite a windy day, so it would have been easy for the keeper to maybe hoof one in, but I know Barton's been named as a substitute on previous team sheets, so maybe he's playing outfield. But good result for Foxdale, they go into the hat, and probably a result Braddon expected.
Okay, then moving on, we had St John's 1, Corinthians 4.
Now, it was a bit late in information coming through on this, because I think it was a really tight game up to half time. Game of two halves, I've been told. Jamie Cook got the goal for St John's, but I think Corinthians led 4-0 at one stage. Josh Riding with the first, Carl Presley with a goal. Well done, Carl. Kane Riding's got one, and Joe Middleton got the other one. I think St John's goal come towards the end, so Corinthians go through, but St John's give up a good performance.
And then a solid showing at least from one side. The next one, Ayr 7, Pulrose 2.
And it was 3-2 at one stage, so well done to Pulrose in this. And I'm not too sure about weather conditions up there, but only 3 goal scorers, so good performances by them. Johnny Shields with 2, Jed Fisher with a couple of goals, Sean Kelly with a hat-trick. The goal scorers for Pulrose were Joe Canepa with 1, and Jason Kelch got the other one.
And plenty more to come after we go through the other league fixtures today. We will have the live draw for the ECAP FA Cup first round proper coming up in just a few minutes' time. But let's have a quick look through the other games that were taking place. Not too much in the way of league fixtures today, as is understandable with the cup games going on, and the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Just one game today, because Ramsey versus Russian was postponed, and it finished, and you know all about this one. You were down there today. Moran 6, Douglas Old Boys 1.
Wasn't a bad game, to be fair, because when you look at the league tables, both are not struggling for staying in the Premier League, but down towards the bottom of the table, because it's quite tight down there. But once Robbie Ward got the first goal, after I think it was about 4 or 5 minutes, you just thought this might be old boys' day. But Moran certainly put a performance in after that, because Cameron Avery got a header to make it 1-1. Mikey Callister with an absolute thunderbolt shot. He was on form today. 2-1. Lewis Brew made it 3-1. Michael Callister got another one in the second half. And what a clever goal this one was, because it was just past the halfway line. He managed to get himself past the defender, drew the goalkeeper, and then a clever chip it really was, because he was, sort of running with the ball. It wasn't as if he was stood still. Chipped it over the keeper, and Sam Holliday stood there, no chance. So 4-1 it was. Connor Gilbert with 1 to make it 5. And then Alex Macquarie with basically the last kick of the game to make it 6-1 to Moran. Great performance by them. Old boys will be disappointed. You know, the team was relatively strong, but Moran's defence stood firm, protected the goalkeeper, and then when they pushed the ball forward and were looking for a goal, the goals were coming quick and fast.
And obviously, I think quite a few people have hoped that that Ramsey and Russian game went ahead. Pardon my wording there.
Yeah.
Ramsey and Russian. I think a lot of people will have hoped that that will have gone ahead. You know, circumstances beyond most people's control,
yeah.
Really. But you know, Russian. I'd imagine they'll have really wanted that to go ahead because they'll be looking to claw back ground on Air United in that title race.
Well, he will. But the problem is, Rob, and I haven't read Twitter or anything, but evidently there's comments on there. You know, they've tried everything, and this is what some clubs do. They try so hard to get the game on. The weather was due to turn bad this morning, it didn't. And they just looked at the pitch, or the groundsman did, and just said, listen, guys, you can't play on this. You're going to cut it up and finish it for a while. So there's a few annoyed people out there, which is understandable if it's late on. But to start sort of putting accusations in that, oh, you're missing players and stuff like that, doesn't go well. Ramsey are an honest club, but unfortunately the game was postponed, and that'll go into the rearranged fixture bag.
Indeed, indeed. So let's move on to Division 2 and just one game there as well, and it finished Governors Athletic 3, Michael 4.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting for information to come through on the goal scorers. We've got the score, and as you say, Governors Athletic 3, Michael 4, but that's all the information we've got.
Yeah, if we have information on goal scorers, please do feel free to send them through to the studio here. We'd love to get more details on that one. Sounded like a thrilling game in itself. Okay, let's go to Canada Life. Combi 1, 6 goals in this one. Quite an entertaining affair. Corinthians 3, Air 3.
Yeah, it was. And just trying to see if I can get Air scorers through. I haven't got them, but I've got Corinthians goal scorers. Matthew Palmer, rolling back the years. Arnie's 40, well into his 40s anyway. He got one. Nigel Moody. Also, these two, I can remember them playing together when they were 16 years of age. So, well done to them. Corinthians were short today. Mark Quirk got the other one. So, fair result. I think Air led 2-1 at one stage. And then Corinthians got two goals late on. Well, not too late on, but two goals in the second half to get a point out of it and finish 3-3.
And then up in the north, it finished Ramsey Youth Centre 2, Ramsey 1.
That's a good result, that, for Ramsey Youth Centre. It was 1-1 at half-time, so all to play for in the second half. Jamie Brew with one for Ramsey Youth Centre, Dylan Parrish with the other. Dylan Pickles it was who got the goal for Ramsey.
1-1 at half-time, wonder what changed in that second 45 that got Ramsey Youth Centre in front.
Well, not too sure. Like, it was a bit windy today where I was in the dip at Moran. It wasn't too bad, to be fair. But Ramsey Youth Centre, that's a good result for them. They worked hard, and it's been a tough season for them because last year, Rob, you'll remember, they were promoted and a few of the players left. Puts them under pressure. The first team, obviously, you know, put good performances in, but also the combination, get raided, you take the best players out. So today they'll take a bit of reward from that performance.
And then we had another thrilling one. 7 goals in this one. Union Mills 4, Laxey 3.
Yeah, and that's a good result for Millers as well. And the star of the show was Jack Murray. He got a hat-trick. Craig Ennett got the other one. 2-2 at half-time. Haven't got Laxey's goal scorers.
OK, moving on to Combi 2 as well. Another 7-goal thriller over there. It finished at Braddon 3, Jims 4.
Yeah, 1-0 at half-time. So good game to watch in the second half. 6 goals. Aaron Field, Hayden Gray and Adam Fair got the goals for Braddon. Unfortunately, Jims haven't been in touch. We haven't got their scorers.
And then we had quite a resounding result in the next one. Not quite as close, I think it's fair to say. Onchan 5, Douglas Athletic 0.
You'd expect that. One of the top sides in this league. And Rob Byrne with 2 goals for Onchan. Tom Lancaster with his name on the score sheet. Craig Taylor and Josh Brockbank. And I've been told to mention the referee. I think he's 17, 18 years of age. New referee into the system. And a second week we've had good reports about him. Tom Hardy. So well done, Tom. He was on the women's line, I think it was, in the final last week as well. So he's making a name for himself, a good performance, and a good performance by Onchan.
Great as ever to see the next generation of referees coming into Manx football. There's always responsibility on the shoulders of the officials, but great to hear about positive performances there. And then rounding off Combi 2 today, a stalemate, Pulrose 2, Governors Athletic 2.
And Brendan O'Neill, with one for Pulrose. JP Joyce got the other. Simon Lee and Carl Hunter were the goal scorers there for Governors Athletic.
And just having a look at the moment, we can hopefully soon cross live for our next draw for the ECAP FA Cup first round proper. But before we do so, just having a quick look at those fixtures to start with, the FA Cup ones. Any in particular that stood out to you, do you think?
Today, I think, you know, Foxdale against Braddon, St John's against Corinthians was the one that I think we were both talking about last night. It looked interesting because St John's are challenging to get promoted. and they had a few players missing today. Corinthians, one of those, a bit depleted, you know, players that they've lost. And at least St John's have got an idea in having a look at that game today and the players that they're playing against of what they could be facing next year when, if St John's get promoted. I'm sure they will, because they've been one of the standout sides in Division 2. Awful lot of football to be played, but it gives them a chance. And I think Ayr against Paul Rose, I thought was brilliant, because the score that was coming through, Ayr 3, Paul Rose 2. And we were getting no sort of feedback then from what was going on. So as far as we were concerned, the score was still the same. But Ayr United showed their sort of mark and got more goals in the second half. And they'll be glad to get that one out of the way, because sometimes you can get a tricky fixture like that. As we've seen last night, Man United, and can all go against you. But Ayr today put it right.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we can now cross live to London and to ECAP and to Mr. Brooke Longhurst, nonetheless. Let's see if we can get hold of Mr. Longhurst. Very good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, gents. I hope you've enjoyed this afternoon's football.
Well, we'd like to think so, but the Manx weather has reared its head again, and of course, two fixtures for different reasons not able to take place this time around. Actually, before we get into the draw itself, Tony, could you just clarify for us again the two fixtures that weren't able to go ahead today? What will happen now with this first round draw taking place?
Yeah, I'm glad you've asked me that question, because we've got a scoreline that's it's not good, but it's happened. Today, Douglas Athletic against Douglas Royal, Rob. That was postponed because Douglas Royal had two players represent the Island under-18s. That ticks a box, and they asked for a postponement. And the other one was Onken, against Malou. Onken had four. Now, the game was played, I think, about 11:30 this morning, and the information that was coming through that the Isle of Man were 1-0 up. Dominic McCarry-Brennan from Douglas Royal had given them the lead. Then Tom Brown, who plays for Peel, who's in the Ireland squad, he got the second. It was 2-1 at one stage. Then it was 3-1, I think it was. Don't know who got that third goal. But then Tranmere just went on a rampage in the second half. And it finished up 10-3 to Tranmere. So it just shows you how strong they were. And it's quite interesting, because the under-18s had a game on Monday against Douglas High School Old Boys. And it was something like 9-1. Talking to Colin Purvis today, and he said, incredible team. So it just shows you the strength that Tranmere had today in that under-18s team against the Isle of Man.
And Mr. Longhurst, over to you. Have you been watching the Manx football, particularly the FA Cup, of course, with keen interest over the last few hours?
Absolutely, and certainly more interest than I had watching my own team, West Ham, nearly lose this afternoon. It was absolutely awful. So I've got a lot of grey hairs to be coming back to Douglas with when I visit at the end of the month. But no, kept a keen eye. Saw Corinthians nick a result 4-1 away this afternoon. The Foxdale result, I think, was it 7 or something along those lines? But no, been keeping an eye out. Follow it very keenly on Twitter.
Foxdale 5, Braddon 0, if that's the one you're referring to.
That's
there.
That's the one I was referring to, yeah. It was an absolute goldfest.
And in terms of the fixtures, the work that's gone into getting them rescheduled, getting them underway so we can have this draw put ahead, what does that say about the efforts that Manx football are making to make sure these tournaments are going ahead with as minimum disruption as possible?
I think that, you know, the key thing about us entering into a partnership with the Isle of Man FA was that, you know, the amount of effort that goes into it off the scenes as well as on the pitch through the local clubs is absolutely amazing. And, you know, we're just really glad to be a part of that, you know, and long may that effort continue. I think you guys will reap the results, and hopefully those efforts will be seen with more fixtures taking place despite the best efforts of the weather.
Absolutely. Well, let's get down to business. I'll be handing over to yourself and Tony in just a moment. So before we get started, Tony, how many teams have we got in the draw?
Good question. We've got 16, 17, 18, because we've got two either ors. We'll give you how the fixtures are going to go on next week. Thanks again, Brooke. And, you know, Brooke came in to sponsor this competition when COVID-1 lockdown came in. And unfortunately, he hasn't been able to be here for the final. But he's going to get here this year, hopefully, him and Dan. And Easter Saturday it's down for. And it's a real clever way to do it, because Brooke's got the bag of balls with him. He's got 16 in there. And Brooke's going to put everyone out of their misery and do the draw. If you could, please, Brooke.
Yeah, absolutely, gents. Now that the moment everybody's been waiting for, the first counter out of the bag is number one.
And number one is the team that's in second place in the Premier League at the moment, Ayr United.
And they'll play number seven.
Number seven will be Jim's.
And that's followed by number 14.
Number 14, ooh, league leaders. All the top boys are coming out early doors. Russian.
Versus number nine.
Number nine is Malou or Onken.
And that's followed by number five.
Number five is a home tie for Douglas High School Old Boys.
Versus number six.
Number six is Foxdale. Beat Braddon today.
Number four.
Number four is Douglas Athletic and Douglas Royal.
Versus number 13.
And number 13 is Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
Number 10.
Number 10 is Michael.
Versus number 8.
Number 8, who beat Governors earlier on, Laxey.
Number 12.
Number 12 is Ramsey.
Versus number 2.
And number 2 is Castletown.
Number 3.
Number 3 is the winners last year, Corinthians.
Versus number 15.
Number 15, ooh, beauty, St George's.
And number 16.
Number 16 is Union Mills.
Versus number 11.
And number 11 is Peel. Just before you go, Brooke, we'll just read out that draw again. And the first one out of the hat was Ayr United at home against Jim's. Russian will have a home tie against Malou or Onken. Douglas High School Old Boys at home against Foxdale. Douglas Athletic or Douglas Royal will play Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Michael will have a home fixture against Laxey. Ramsey at home against Castletown. Corinthians will play St George's. And Union Mills will play Peel now. I know you know a bit about Manx football, Brooke, but Corinthians, I don't think, will be too happy with you drawing out one of the top teams in St George's. Answer yourself.
Yeah, I'm dreading the feedback, but hopefully it's a good one for the neutral. So hopefully let's get a lot of people down there to watch the game when it does happen.
Yeah. How are things in the UK now, Brooke? We always sort of check out with you with the COVID situation because we've been on this journey together, UK and Isle of Man. Things good?
Yeah, it's almost getting back to normal. You know, we've recently moved our office back into London and, you know, at the start of the year, you know, it was almost like that scene of 28 days later. You're walking around, there's crisp packets blowing everywhere and you can't see anybody. But now life is almost back to normal. The trains are packed, the city's booming and hopefully, you know, it's a testament that everybody's, you know, up and ready to crack on and kickstart normal life again. So fingers crossed, you know, we're over the worst of it now and we can crack on and get up and running.
Absolutely fantastic. And I believe you're going to go to a birthday party now, a first birthday party for your daughter?
It's my daughter's first birthday on Wednesday. So we've got a few family and friends coming round. So as you can imagine, I'm going to be at the thick of it, picking up all of the wrapping paper and making sure everybody else is happy. And as long as my daughter's got the biggest smile on her face in the room, then happy days. But yeah, that's my afternoon, gents.
Fantastic. And are you with us next week or is Dan with us for the draw?
It should be Dan. It should be Dan next week, but you never know. Hopefully it'll be him. Otherwise, it could be me on the cards again.
Top man. Take care, Brooke.
Have a good one.
Brooke, and from myself, thank you very much once again. Always a pleasure. Take care.
No worries, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
OK, so, Tony, just taking a look through again just at some of those fixtures. I know Brooke's already picked out what he thinks is going to be the big one for the neutrals, but which ones stand out to you there?
Well, I think the Corinthians against St George's one. I watched the league game and, you know, Corinthians won it, but, you know, St George's made it difficult. But you've got to remember that semi-final in the Decott Railway Cup. That was annihilation. That's all you can say. Corinthians weren't on it at all. Conceded 9 goals. But when you look at the other ones, it's always interesting when you see a Premier League against a Division 2 side, and Ayr against Jim's today, you know, against Paul Rose, disposed of them. Easy enough. Russian will play Malou or Onken. Now, Malou and Onken, that game will be played next week. I could probably give you a rough idea, actually, of what games will be on next week in the Cup. Ayr will play Jim's in the first round. Malou will play Onken in the preliminary round first. Old Boys will play Foxdale in the FA Cup first round. Douglas Athletic against Douglas Royal, preliminary round, outstanding game. That will be played next week. Michael will play Laxey. Ramsey will play Castletown. Corinthians will play St George's. And Union Mills will play Peel. Now, we're going to have to do a lot of work on the fixtures, Rob, because we just looked at it with Christmas. There was 5 weeks the boys hadn't played, so we let them play some league games first. But now we'll get into this one. So there's one or two sort of things to sort out. And I think there's still an outstanding Woods Cup game to be played as well, which is Castletown and St John's. That won't be able to go ahead next week now because obviously Castletown has still got this FA Cup game to play.
So it's going to have to be staggered over a bit of time, but I'm sure it'll all be able to work out in due course. So just a quick reminder, if you didn't hear our live draw just before, just of the fixtures for the ECAP FA Cup first round. So the draws are Ayr United versus Jims, Rushen United versus Maloo or Onchan, Douglas High School Old Boys versus Foxdale, Douglas Athletic or Douglas Royal against Ramsey Youth Centre, Michael versus Laxey, Ramsey versus Castletown, Corinthians versus St George's and Union Mills versus Peel. And of course, a couple of those preliminary fixtures, as Tony's rightly mentioned, they're still to be played and they will be staggered alongside the first round game. So moving on slightly, just taking a look at FC Isle of Man today. Another big win for them. FC Isle of Man beating Brockton over in Staffordshire at the Silkmoor Lane Sports Ground by 1-0. And it was FC Isle of Man's 100th goal of the campaign in all competitions so far. So just taking a look at that for the moment. So Sean Doyle, who else, I think it's fair to say, in front of goal, getting the all-important goal in that game to bag 3 points. But it looked like a tough afternoon for them.
Yeah, it did. I listened to Paul Jones, who was over there and looking at the game, and said it was just a bit of a hard game. But, you know, that's good, Rob, because I'm not saying that they've had it easy, because they've put in some sterling performances of late. But they wanted a tough game, and today was just one of those. I believe the pitch was a little bit undulated, which makes it hard. But Brockton, we've studied their results recently and they've been pretty impressive, so you always knew this one was going to come. And it just sets up nicely for Super Saturday and Sunday next week, doesn't it, where they're going to play two games. And someone came up to me today and said, what's it all about? It was just tidying up process, and it's easier just to get those two games out of the way next week, and FC Isle of Man have agreed to it.
Yeah, that Camelaird one was already scheduled on the Saturday, but the Eccleshaw one was one that was rescheduled from earlier in the season. I think the other option would have been to play it in midweek, I think, but I think both sides have agreed that the Sunday's probably best. And it also gives Eccleshaw time to get themselves home on the Sunday evening, doesn't it? So they're back at home on the Monday.
Yeah, it is, and it's a lot of sort of work to sort out for FC Isle of Man, isn't it? Because, okay, it's all on the same venue, but flying teams in, you know, both of them are going to be flying in. One will be going back when the other one is sort of going, and it just, works itself all out. But let's just hope that we have a good crowd for both games.
And as well, yeah, we mentioned there about Brockton. They're going into this one, they'd only lost one of their last 9 games, if my stat memory serves me correctly. But importantly as well, with the teams around them, both West Didsbury and Chorlton at the top and New Mills, who were level with them on points but behind on goal difference going into this weekend, neither of them were able to play today. Both their respective games called off due to waterlogged pitches. They'll have to be rescheduled for a later date. But FC Isle of Man continuing to put the pressure on the big boys around them.
Well, they are, and I think with those two games that have got rearranged, it's a little bit easier because they're both in the UK. Comes a little bit more complicated when FC Isle of Man get involved, but no, massive pressure on them, and I just can't see them at the moment, the way they're playing, sort of losing games. I know that could be the kiss of death, but I just think any players that sort of get injured or are not available can be covered, Rob. And I didn't see last week's game, but it was another tough sort of game they had to work hard for, but they still came out with a 4-0 win, and you can't ask any more. 3 points is the one that they want. And, you know, it's quite interesting reading a couple of the player profiles this week. I think it was Lee Gale, Frank Jones. And Frank, just said that, you know, let's just hope that we get to the playoff, get a home tie and absolutely fill that stadium. And that would be brilliant because, you know, it's an awful lot of work that they've had to put into. They had a sticky start. They've put in some terrific performances that we've witnessed. And I think it's what now, apart from Christmas, Rob, 3 months that we've been near enough every Saturday down at the bowl watching FC Isle of Man go on this fantastic voyage that they're doing. And well done to them. It's brilliant to see. And next week's even better. 2 games.
Absolutely. That's sure Ravens fans will be hoping that form can keep on going. So yeah, as Tony rightly mentioned there, just a reminder, next weekend, Saturday the 12th of February, FC Alabama versus Camel Laird at the Ball Stadium from 6:30 p.m. And then also, they're back at the Ball again on the Sunday, the 13th of February, FC Alabama versus Eccleshall. That kicks off at 1:45 p.m. So keep in mind for that. But yeah, Tony, as ever, thank you very much once again.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Well, now let's turn to Isle of Man rugby, and I'm hoping on the other end of the line here is Dave Christian, who's been joining us all day. Dave, very good afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Rob. Hopefully I'm there and coming through loud and clear.
Absolutely, loud and clear. Now, I'm wondering if you've got the windswept look after today with all the weather that's been swirling around the island. Is that the case?
Well, it was definitely breezy at Vagabonds, and that's probably where I'm going to start tonight. It was the early kickoff, so we'll give it the early mention in the results. Not a positive result, unfortunately, for Vagabonds ladies in women's NC North 1 West. It was difficult opposition, to be honest. Broughton Park are second in the table. They've got promotion ambitions themselves. And when Sam Bundock, the Broughton Park number 8, went over after just 6 minutes, I thought this doesn't look very good. And then not so long after that, Megan Ryder, who was very impressive in the Broughton Park backline, she went in for their second. She converted that herself. That was a 12-0 lead with not even 20 minutes on the clock. Vagabonds rallied, though, playing into the wind. Jules Harrison pulled one back at the other end, but a penalty try against them on the half-hour restored the Broughton Park lead. And just before half-time, in fact, on the stroke of half-time, the Broughton Park scrum half, Tiffany Ho, went in for a try to give them a 24-5 advantage at the break. The first 30 minutes of the second half was pretty much scoreless. In fact, they were scoreless, not even pretty much. And it wasn't until the last 10 minutes that Broughton Park really ran away with it. Juliet Carter, on off the bench, showed a great turn of pace down the left wing. She ran in 2 tries in 5 minutes. That extended their lead. And with the final play of the game, Annie Jenkinson put a late try over for Broughton Park, which put icing on the cake. It was an improved performance from Vagabonds. They'd lost 58-7 in the away match, so a 51-point margin has been reduced now to a 34-point margin. That's probably that 15 points, the difference between playing at home and away, perhaps. But a disappointing performance, I guess. Vagabonds ladies will want to do a little bit better than that. They've got their next fixture. I think it's in 2 weeks' time. I'd need to consult the fixture list for that. They don't have a handy. But, yeah, a disappointment there up at Bella Fletcher. From that point onwards, I moved down to Portashee. The side there was Douglas Celts, the second team, and that's because Douglas's first team were away in North 1 West. They were at Bowden, their rivals down at the foot of the table, and they pulled off a great away win, beating Bowden 27-17 and picking up a try bonus point too. Centre Harry Hewson was a star for Douglas this afternoon. He ran in 2 tries, and supporting scores came from Blake Snell and Craig Martin. Remember, if you get four tries in a match, you get a bonus point, and Douglas secured only their second try bonus point of the season. Luke Highland continued his excellent kicking form with 2 conversions and a penalty, and hooker Dave Sherwin justified his call-up from Douglas Celts with a man-of-the-match performance for the first team. The win takes Douglas 8 points clear of the bottom two and almost in touching distance of Broughton Park and Altrincham Kersal. But, crucially, Douglas do have 2 games in hand. Next week, they travel away, the horrible trip that nobody likes to make. It's against Carlisle. However, Carlisle are bottom of the table, and if Douglas can take the same side and the same attitude away as they had today, they're going to be picking up some more points on the road. Down at Portashee, we had the Ravenscroft Manx Cup. Ramsey beat Douglas Celts 53-20. Dan Richmond, Dan Bonwick and Brandon Etchison all scored 2 apiece for Ramsey. Connor Goodall, Jake Richmond both scored single tries. And a special mention for Ross Quayle, the 17-year-old on his first team debut. He went over for a try as well. Dan Richmond kicked 4 conversions for Ramsey, and that sees them comfortably on top of the Ravenscroft Manx Cup standings. For Douglas, Nick Kane, Connor Casey, Brendan Kelly and Ian Alfred all picked up tries. They'll get a try bonus point for that, but it's a little consolation to them. They've not been going well this season, the Celts, and that run continues. Meanwhile, the other Manx Cup game down at Ballykillia Park at Port Erin was a fantastic win for PDMS Southern Nomads. They beat Shure Vagabonds 41-12 to secure their first win in the Manx Cup this year. George Collister, the scrum half, and centre Max Fairburn both ran in two tries for the men in green, and there were supporting scores from Gerard Landles and Tony Quinn, with Mark Young converting four and adding a penalty. And sadly, Vagabonds didn't give me their scorers' information, so I can't read them out.
Well, thank you, Dave. Just a couple of questions before you go. Let's just turn for a moment to that result for Vagabonds, 5-39 in the favour of Broughton Park. We knew it was going to be a potentially tough day at the office for Vagabonds anyway, and it's turned out to be the case. What are the sort of positives that Vagabonds ladies can take from this one?
Well, the first thing that I noticed, I'm being a former prop forward, was that Vagabond's scrum seemed to dominate pretty much for most of the game. They'll be impressed with the resilience their scrum showed. They had a couple of new players making their first appearances, and that all seemed to work out okay with them. We had Clara Townsend in the back row and Sarah Kidd on the bench. So they both got their first runs out. So it's always good to get new players on board. Helps with their confidence. Corinna Daly made great runs with the ball. She made hard yards for Vagabonds. Sophie Henry was awesome. She was a wrecking ball all around the field. And the back line looked pretty solid as well. They're missing their captain, Lauren Ellison. That's going to make a difference for the back line. But everybody else was pretty much there and thereabouts. They're going to give the other teams in the table, or in the league at least, a little run for their money towards the end of the season. And the next fixture is, let's just have a look at the fixture list, which I managed to get up now, 19th of February, away at Preston Grasshoppers. And Preston Grasshoppers are the league leaders, so I don't see them getting much out of that game. But they've got games yet to come, away at Halifax. They've got Chester Devers. So there's points there for them. They're not in the relegation zone, but they're not far away from it either. And they could desperately do with a couple of wins. They haven't had a win this season yet, but they have picked up two draws. So they're there and thereabouts, not too far away in some of the matches. But against the top sides in the table, they're just a little bit outgunned. They're missing some of their form players that they've had in the past couple of seasons. Catherine Crane one, Isla Curfey another, and those two were outstanding players that scored tries and tries and tries, and they haven't really got a replacement for those yet, but they look pretty good this afternoon in fits and starts, but not quite the real deal just yet.
And finally, Dave, just before we let you go, Bowden 17, Douglas 27 in the North 1 West today. How big a result is that for Douglas in the grand scheme of things?
They've had, I think we talked about this in preview, one of the important things for getting your team to be successful is consistency in team selection. Douglas have pretty much had that all season. They've had a number of player losses, though, over the COVID period that they've never been able to quite recover from. And the guys that have brought in, the Charlie Henthorne, the Craig Martin, the Kyle Martin, Harry Hewson, Harry Swain, this year, those guys have all come in and they're all youngsters. They're talented youngsters, but they just need a little while to bed in. I think that bedding in process is almost complete now. The Martin brothers in particular are outstanding. Harry Swain's had, I think, three games, one at fullback, two in the number 10 jersey. Those players will just continue to grow and grow and grow. And I think we should see Douglas maybe climb up that table a little bit further. They were rock bottom for a little while. They still have two games in hand on some of their opponents. And, of course, they've got this disputed match with Broughton Park that's going to be resolved probably in a committee room. Broughton Park refused to travel. So that's all to come for them in the future. They've had a pretty solid start to the year. They've had two wins now, a draw. And out of the five matches so far, two wins and a draw. If you'd offered them that at the start of the season, they'd have bit your hand off, I would have thought. But things are looking up.
Dave, a pleasure as always. Thank you very much. Now get yourself indoors and dried off for the rest of the week. Dave Christian there. Dave, thanks very much again.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Well, the weather has been hitting all sports today, and Hockey is absolutely no different, but plenty going ahead today. Now, going into the weekend, there was the possibility that two division titles could be decided. But, crucially, has that been the case? Well, I'm joined right now in the studio by Sam Spooner. Sam, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Okay, well, let's have a quick rattle through the results before we take a look into the specifics. So in the Rossborough Men's Premier League today, it finished Backers A 7, Vikings B 1, Valkyries A 2, Vikings A 1, and Ramsey A 12, Valkyries B 1. And in the Rossborough Women's Premier League, the game between Castletown A and Valkyries B postponed. Backers A 4, Ramsey A 2, and Valkyries A 0, Vikings A 5. In the Rossborough Men's Division 1, both games there between Backers B and Vikings C, and Castletown A and Castletown B both postponed. In the Rossborough Women's Division 1, two games there. It finished Vikings B 3, Valkyries C 0, and Harlequins 1, Castletown B 2. And then in the Rossborough Men's Division 2, it finished Backers C 1, Ramsey B 2, Harlequins B 5, Valkyries C 0, and Castletown Colts 2, Backers Colts 0. And then in the Rossborough Women's Division 2, Castletown C versus Ramsey B postponed. And it also finished Vikings C 4, Castletown Colts 1. And then last but certainly not least, in the Rossborough Mixed Under 16 2, it finished Harlequins 3, Vikings 2, Valkyries 1, Castletown 0. And finally, Backers 4, Ramsey, Rogues and Rascals 0. And it's worth noting that the games that have been postponed today were all those that were due to be played at Castle Rushen High School. The games called off with high winds, and as Paul Moran told us earlier, goals effectively moving around on that pitch of their own volition. I think that's a pretty decent sign that the conditions might just not be quite right. Am I right there, Sam?
Yeah, we've played in some pretty rough conditions, you know, but when the goals are being blown over, there's not really much you can do. You can put as much weight in them as you want, but it didn't seem to help today.
Yes, when goal frames are moving around quicker than some of the players during warm-ups, you know that's a potential warning sign. Okay, let's start by having a look at the Rossborough Men's Premier League and the one of two games at half 12. Backers A 7, Vikings B 1.
Yeah, and it was a good performance by Vikings B today. They gave as good as they got. They had a fair few attacking opportunities, a few short corners, from one of which they scored from via Charlie Bell. But Backers A, they looked incredible today. If they win the league, it's the reason they've won the league is they're just an endless train of youth coming through. I mean, we've had our eye on the likes of Kean Ledridge, Luca Pallotta, Harry Kalin for, you know, 2 or 3 years now. They've been in that Colts team, and they came through into that first team today, and they just looked like they belong there. You know, there was no looking at the Premier League in awe or anything like that. They looked like a proper Backers A player. Goal scorers today for Backers A, the young Elliot Reid, Andy Whiting with two, Kean Ledridge, Luca Pallotta, two of those young players I mentioned, and Chris Whiting on the score sheet for Backers A in what was just an incredible performance from that Backers A side. And I can understand now why they beat Vikings A.
Absolutely, yeah. Fantastic result for them. And then the next one, maybe it's just my hockeying experience or whatnot, but a little bit of surprise this took me by looking at this one. Half to half finished. Valkyries A 2, Vikings A 1.
It is a surprise result for most people. I'm not surprised by it in any way, shape or form. Vikings, they always seem to fall when they're just so close, when they're in touching distance of that title. They always seem to fall against the likes of Valkyries. In fact, I think they got beaten last year. Rob, you might know more than me. I think you played in that game, didn't you, when they lost last year?
I didn't play in that game, but I know which one you're referring to.
And I think it happened the year before as well. They always seem to just trip up when the most important times of the season. I don't know whether it's some sort of psychological block, because Vikings A have the talent and the players available to them to beat the likes of Backers A. But today, Valkyries A, what a mighty performance. Chris Caldwell with one and Robin Masson with one as well. Macklin Wilson on the score sheet for Vikings A. And that does mean Backers A now 4 points ahead in the title with four to play for left now. And if Backers A even get a point next week when they play Valkyries A, that's it, they've won the title. Can Valkyries A, turn up with the best squad like they did today and beat Backers A? Perhaps, but I don't think that's going to happen based on the way Backers A performed today. They had no defenders on the pitch and they were just incredible.
Well, absolutely. Not sure looking forward, but especially going off today's result, full credit to Valkyries A, an excellent result for them. And the other game at half three, not quite so close this one, unfortunately for one side. Anyway, Ramsey A 12, Valkyries B 1.
Yeah, 6 goals in each half for Ramsey A and 8 different goal scorers for Ramsey A. So if they've turned up with a squad of 15, half of their players are scored. Nat Smith, Ramsey A's hero in front of goal, with 4 goals. John Gara Jackson with 2. Thomas Titsos, Jan Kane, Gwyn Davies, Dan Stevenson, Alex Sherman, Dan Hurd, all with a solitary goal each. Valkyries B's goal scorer in the second half was Neil Jacobs.
OK, then moving into the Rossborough Women's Premier League. As mentioned before, Castletown A versus Valkyries B at Castle Rushen was postponed. All the games were at 2 o'clock. Only two went ahead at 2 o'clock, as it turned out, due to that postponement. And one of those was Backers A 4, Ramsey A 2.
Yeah, really good performance by Backers A. Sophie Howland with 2, Hope Goff with 2. Both young players there. Ramsey's goal scorers, I haven't got those, but they managed to get a couple of goals on there. And I think Ramsey, they're probably looking at finishing 4th place in the league at the minute. Maybe 5th place, I think. The other result in the league, Valkyries A 0, Vikings A 5. That's the big one today. All the rest of the games don't really matter too much. Valkyries B are likely to go down, and there's not much they can do to save themselves. But it was still to play for until today at the top of the table. And Vikings A haven't won it, but it's going to take some sense of a miracle. Vikings A have got to lose their last 3 games, basically. And they've not lost one all season. Nobody can see that happening. 5-0 for Vikings A against Valkyries A. Sarah Blackman with 2, Zoe Crow, Kim Carney and Steph Foxton. It's a 5-point lead with 6 points to play for.
Moving on, in the Rossborough Men's Division 1, both games there postponed. Backers B versus Vikings C and Castletown A versus Castletown B. They were all due to be played at Castle Rushen, postponed, as we've mentioned before, due to the high winds around the area. But both games went ahead in the Rossborough Women's Division 1, and the first of those was at 12:30. That was Vikings B 3, Valkyries C 0.
Yeah, Valkyries C were looking to stave off relegation today. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to do it. So I believe, if I've done my sums correctly, please correct me if I'm wrong, but that's Valkyries C now relegated. Vikings B, though, good performance. 3 goal scorers, Becky Bannister, Charlie Millwood and Ava Melnick on the score sheet for Vikings B. Vikings B, though, can't affect the championship destination at this point. I think their head-to-head record with Harlequins is poor. So it's but this next result is incredible. Harlequins 1, Castletown B 2. Now, I said Harlequins will win this one outright. It was 1-1 at half time. And I always get the sense that when I doubt Castletown at important moments, they always seem to do me over and prove me
wrong.
You've
usually been so fastidious about this as well. You've always had the faith in Castletown when you've thought that maybe the odds were against them. And
you know
what?
I thought Harlequins have literally demolished everybody in front of them. And what could have been a 5-point lead in the league is now a 1-point lead in the league, because their closest challenger is Castletown B. The only team that could beat them have taken points out of them. And I just find it absolutely stunning. Castletown B, you can buy me a pint in the pub next time you see me, because every time I doubt you, you seem to prove me wrong. So I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to doubt you every week going forward. But I had the text from Harlequin saying it was a really close game, really, really entertaining game. And it looks like it was an absolute humdinger of a match as well. But that's really tightened things up at the top. And Harlequins, they've got 2, maybe 3 games left. They really need to turn on the style next week to take that title home.
Yeah, fantastic result for Castletown B. I told you yesterday on Friday Sport that you might have to get your calculator out. That thing's going to have its battery flat by the time you finish with it over the next couple of weeks. Things really hotting up. Fantastic. And 3 games in Rossborough Men's Division 2. This was another one that contained a crucial fixture. But let's start with the first of the day, and that was at 12:30. Finished back as C1, Ramsey B2.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an odd one, because Ramsey B couldn't possibly beat Harlequins B in the league. Owing to the fact that the head-to-head record was massively in Harlequin's favour, to the point where Ramsey B couldn't overtake them and left, they would finish level on points. But back as C, Neil Brew on the score sheet, Ramsey B, Connor Parfitt and Ian Woods on the score sheet there for Ramsey B. Ramsey B looking good for that second place, though.
And then here's one of the crucial ones, Harlequin's B and Valkyries C. What happened there?
So I got a text message from a Valkyries representative to say that Valkyries C couldn't field a team because some of their young players were away this weekend with a lot of the young, the Island youth setups. Now, I don't know whether that's been a walkover to Harlequins. I don't know whether that's been postponed till a later date, because it's most of the time when you aren't able to field a side because a number of your young players are away, for instance, representing the Island squads or senior players representing Island squads. They would normally look to postpone. Now, I haven't had confirmation yet. I haven't sought confirmation, because it's only just occurred to me now that this is a massive fixture. However, if it is a 5-0 hop walk over to Harlequins B, they win the league.
Well, I hope we can get clarity as soon as possible. A lot riding on this one, potentially, but let's move on for the time being anyway. At 3:30, it finished Castletown Colts 2, Backers Colts 0 over at KWC.
Yeah, and what this does mean is that if it is a walkover to Harlequins B, it means nobody else can catch them in the league now. There's only Ramsey B that can go level on points with them. Big, big game between these two Colts teams. 1-0 at half-time it was to Castown Colts. 2-0 end of the match. Michael Pardo with their two goals.
Okay, then moving on to Rossborough Women's Division 2. One of those games, as mentioned before, postponed. That's Castletown C versus Ramsey B. That was due to be played at Castle Rushen. But the weather meant it was not going to take place. And the other game, and that one was at 3:30, and that was at QE2. Vikings C4, Castletown Colts 1.
Yeah, big result for Vikings C. They now go 2 points clear at the top of the table, owing to the fact that Castletown C and Ramsey B haven't played, and the league leaders aren't playing this week, and back as C. But they have played two more games than everybody else in the league. So they're going to find it difficult to stay there. But given that every team in the league has lost at least twice, only Backers C, who were top of the table, can say they've not lost more than twice. Everybody else has lost at least three games. So we're still really, really close in this division. Next week's going to be very, very interesting. See if Backers C can retake that lead at the top of the table. And the goal scorers, Becca Kelly with a brilliantly taken hat-trick and Jan Carney on the score sheet.
And last but certainly not least, the Rossborough Mixed Under-16s 2. Three games went ahead in that today, and two starting at 11 o'clock, two early starts, and one of those was Harlequins 3, Vikings 2.
Yeah, and I think I might have said something along the lines of Harlequins could win the title this weekend, but then I noticed a load of fixtures after the last time I checked. So this actually has three rounds of fixtures in the Under-16s Mixed 2. So there's still 14 points to play for in this league. But Harlequins sit 6 points clear of everybody else. So it's going to be pretty soon, I reckon, that we can say that Harlequins have won the title. But Vikings, they did well today against a very, very good Harlequins side. And I look at the likes of Harlequins, Alfie Swales, Corey Corkill, two key players for their men's A side. So they put a really strong team out today. So goal scorers for Harlequins, Alfie Swales, Corey Corkill and Gemma Quayle. Vikings goal scorers, Ben Dougal and Morgan Braidwood.
Okay, and the other game at 11 o'clock was Valkyries 1, Castletown 0.
Really, really tight game, decided by a penalty stroke scored by Ethan Adams for Valkyries. But a really, really good win for Valkyries. Takes them into third place, I believe, in the league now.
And just a note on top of that, we've been asked to give a mention, a thank you to the umpires for that game as well. So thank you to them for helping the game go ahead. And last but certainly not least, in that league at 2 o'clock, it finished Backers 4, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 0.
Yeah, and Ramsey Rogues and Rascals struggling this season alongside Castletown at the bottom of the table, but Backers 4 goals from Ollie Christian, George Lees, Ross Grimley and Emily Harding.
So that's a quick roundup of the results there, and we've got just a couple of minutes to spare here, but just looking at the way the divisions are going, obviously we are waiting for confirmation on the situation in the Rossborough Men's Division 2 of that game between Harlequins B and Valkyries C. But looking around, there's been a couple of results today. We said that, you know, a couple of titles could be decided today. It's not necessarily going to be the case, we don't know yet, but just having a look at some of those results there, some of the tables have turned.
Yeah, especially in that Rossborough Women's Division 1, I basically put everything I've said all weekend on Harlequins being 5 points clear with 6 points left to play for. Sorry, 4 points left to play for, winning the title today, potentially. And it's completely turned on its head. It's gone from being a potential 5 point lead to a 1 point lead at the top of the table. But crucially, they sit 1 point ahead at the top of the table. So it's still very much in their hands. If they win the next couple of fixtures, they win the league. It's as simple as that. So it's all in their hands. But Castletown B, what a performance from them today. I mean, Harlequins, I don't think they failed to score less than four goals in a game this season. To only restrict them to one, that's an incredible defensive performance from Castletown B. And then to follow that up with two goals as well, incredible.
I think one lesson's been learnt this week for yourself. You should be sticking to your guns in not writing Castletown off. That was a fantastic result in itself, and not the only fantastic result of the weekend, but lessons to be learnt for you there, I think. Sam, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Once again. Well, that's all we have time for on Saturday Sport Classified. Big thank you to our guests this week, Brooke Longhurst, Tony Meppam, Dave Christian and Sam Spooner. We'll now be handing back over to Christy DeHaven over on our FM frequency. Thank you very much for joining us once again. And until next time, bye for now.